Great it is. Igwech.
Ha me daki api, zithkala wi chasha mi alo. Wanki apeta ti oshpae. Chunkpe opi. That is my traditional way of introducing myself, my name, where the family I'm from, and where I live. That is, my English name is Justin Rowland. I'm from Wounded Knee, from the Fire Lightning Teoshpai, and I was always taught my whole life is that water is life. Without water, there could be no life. There's a reason why there's oceans all around us. The sky is blue. Why we're like 90% water. And like, without the water, we're infecting ourselves. We use that mining and everything. If it's all used, we're basically poisoning ourselves. If we poison the earth, we're poisoning ourselves. Everything ties together, no matter what people say. Like, nothing would work. But everything ties together. Every nation, we're all tied together in a way people don't know it.
Crazy Horse, one of our great war leaders of the Oglala Lakota, he would sit on the hill and fast and look for a way to help his people against the encroachment of the fat taker. And he would watch the thunders, the Wakia, and if you look at them, you see the little batches here and there, and they're all in groups. He sat there and watched them and communicated with them in that way, and that's how he would send his warriors into battle. He would come from all different directions, like these Wakia, in little groups. And when the soldiers would chase them, they would run and they would turn on them and kill them. But they would hit them from all different directions, and this is where he got that tactic of the thunder from the thunder beings. And this is how we as nations from all different directions need to hit this pipeline, like the Wakia. Aho.
Those were the voices of Native American activists who have vowed to put their bodies on the line to stop the Keystone XL pipeline if the construction of the pipeline moves forward. The community launched their direct action when they discovered that their tribal council had secretly signed an agreement with TransCanada to build an electrical substation on their tribal lands to power Keystone XL. TransCanada needs the electricity to power the pumping stations that will pump toxic tar sands through Lakota territory. If the Native activists succeed in stopping the electric substation, the pipeline will be unable to be constructed through the Dakotas. And now, stay tuned for Out Loud, coming up next.
Tune into KABU on Tuesday, November 18th at 7 p.m. Save the Good Old Houses, the 1989 struggle in Northwest Portland, a live panel discussion from the Architectural Heritage Center. The History of Social Justice Organizing sponsors this discussion of the events and aftermath of May 23, 1989, when townhouse developer Philip J. Morford's bulldozer attacked on Northwest Overton and 23 neighborhood residents were arrested. The panel will feature 5 central participants in the struggle. History of Social Justice Organizing is an ongoing series of presentations by activists and scholars on a wide variety of social justice organizing topics in Portland and elsewhere. Again, that's Tuesday, November 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net. Welcome to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and tonight we're going to be welcoming two community groups to talk about the upcoming Transgender Day of Remembrance. And before we get to those interviews, we're going to be hearing about Leslie Feinberg, who passed this past week, and we'll be hearing more about their work in the community and out in the world. But before we get to that, I want to let you know how to connect with us online. Our email address is outloudradio@gmail.com. And if you use Twitter or Facebook, you can look for us there. Do a search for KBOO Out Loud. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have any feedback about the show, or maybe you have a community announcement that you'd like us to read, or perhaps you'd like to get involved. Again, our email is outloudradio@gmail.com. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a few moments to hear about one of our community's very important members, Leslie Feinberg. So this musical break is from Gossip, and it's titled Keeping You Alive.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Out Loud. That song was titled Keeping You Alive from The Gossip, and it plays into our theme for this evening. Again, keeping you alive. We are going to be talking about the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and we'll also be talking about some other positive things during the show this evening, including all the really awesome things that some of the community groups are doing for our community. But we did want to have kind of a serious moment and around keeping each other alive, and there's been a lot of loss and death in our community, and so wanted to share that song just as a way that we are helping each other out to keep us alive. We are going to move into a more serious subject, and I want to welcome my colleague Daniel to the show, and he has some information to share.
Hi, this is Comrade Daniel.
And so, okay, go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, this is Comrade Daniel. Leslie Feinberg, who identified as an anti-racist, white, working-class, secular Jewish, transgender, lesbian, female, revolutionary communist, died on November 15th. She succumbed to complications from multiple tick-borne co-infections, including Lyme disease, after decades of illness. She died at home in Syracuse, New York, with her partner and spouse of 22 years, Minnie Bruce Pratt, at her side. Her last words were, "Remember me as a revolutionary communist." Comrade Feinberg was the first theorist to advance a Marxist concept of transgender liberation, and her work impacted popular culture, academic research, and political organizing. Her historical and theoretical writing has been widely anthologized and taught in the U.S. in international academic circles. Her impact on mass culture was primarily through her 1993 first novel, Stone Butch Blues, widely considered in and outside the U.S. as a groundbreaking work about the complexities of gender. Sold by the hundreds of thousands of copies, the novel has been translated into Chinese, Dutch, German, Italian, Slovenian, Turkish, and Hebrew. In a statement at the end of her life, she said that she had never been in search of a common umbrella identity, or even an umbrella term, that brings together people of oppressed sexes, gender expressions, and sexualities, and added that she believed in the right of self-determination of oppressed individuals, communities, groups, and nations. She preferred to use the pronouns she, z, and her, here for herself, but also said, "I care which pronoun is used, but people have been disrespectful to me with the wrong pronoun and respectful with the right one. It matters whether someone is using the pronoun as a bigot or if they are trying to demonstrate respect." In her early 20s, Comrade Feinberg joined Workers' World Party through its Buffalo, New York branch. A journalist for their paper since 1974, Comrade Feinberg was the editor of the political prisoners page of Workers' World newspaper for 15 years and became a managing editor in 1995. She was also a member of the National Committee of the party. Feinberg was also a member of the National Writers Union, Local 1981, and of Pride at Work, an AFL-CIO constituency group. From 2004 to 2008, Comrade Feinberg's writings on the links between socialism and LGBT history, Lavender and Red, ran as a 120-part series in Workers' World newspaper. Her most recent book, Rainbow Solidarity in Defense of Cuba, was an edited selection of that series. Comrade Feinberg authored two other nonfiction books, Transgender Warriors Making History and Trans Liberation Beyond Pink or Blue, as well as a second novel, Drag King Dreams. Comrade Feinberg is survived by Pratt and an extended family of choice, as well as many friends, activists, and comrades around the world in struggle against oppression and for liberation. A devoted group of friends are continuing to work to post Comrade Feinberg's final writing and art online at lesliefeinberg.net. That's LesLiefeinberg.net.
Thank you for that, Daniel. I just want to ask on a personal note, what did Leslie Feinberg mean to you as an author, as a person?
An awful lot.
Yeah. Almost more than words can say is what I feel.
Yeah. Even as somebody who doesn't identify personally as transgender, I felt like Comrade Feinberg gave me the permission to be all of who I am at the same time, rather than having to parse myself out and only be this here and only be that there. Comrade Feinberg made the world more of a place where I could be everything I am everywhere I go.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And again, thank you to Leslie Feinberg, who passed on this week. And again, the website, lesliefeinberg.net, for more information on that. So next we want to move into our interview with a student who is working or is attending school at Portland State University. And Melanie, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, and thank you for joining us. Let our listeners know that, well, you're involved with the Queer Resource Center at PSU, but the Queer Resource Center has got a lot of different things going on. And maybe let's start by just offering a little bit of background about, you know, what kind of services does the Queer Resource Center offer?
The Queer Resource Center does things in what I see as three different branches. So we have social events for students on campus to sort of build community, provide social space for people who may have moved from out of town to attend Portland State University and get together. We provide resources and support. We refer to a lot of campus organizations as well as outside organizations for students who are having trouble finding services. We do a lot of case-by-case advocacy for folks who may be having trouble navigating the university system as well as other systems like the legal system. And the third branch is education and outreach, in which we provide trainings and panel discussions for community organizations, other parts of Portland State University, and just any folks who show up. So most of those trainings are open to the public as well.
Okay, and that's how I met. I guess I first encountered the Queer Resource Center. I am not a student at PSU, but I showed up for one of your events that was open to the community. So I guess I appreciated that opportunity to engage, even though I'm not a student there, but you guys have such a great offering of stuff going on. So tonight we wanted to talk about the upcoming Transgender Day of Remembrance, but I wonder if you could give our listeners maybe just a little bit of background on this important day that happens every year.
Sure. Transgender Day of Remembrance has been going on for nearly 20 years. It's every year on November 20th, and the purpose of Trans Day of Remembrance is to memorialize those who have been killed as a result of transphobia. Different organizations do it different ways. Portland, in the past, the community has held lots of different events. Some have been candlelight vigils. The common theme, though, is that at most of the events each year, a list of names of people who have died in the previous year due to transphobic violence is read out loud.
Okay, and that can be very intense, but I do also want to acknowledge, we're acknowledging people that have been killed by violence, but also people that have committed suicide. So the different ways that anti-trans hate can kind of manifest for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed that this year the Queer Resource Center is offering a lot of different events during the month of October. So instead of focusing on November 20th, you've really expanded what's going on. So can you maybe explain how that happened?
Definitely. So the whole month of November for us is Temper Days, which stands for Trans Empowerment, Resistance, and Resilience. And that was born out of Trans Day of Remembrance and a call from our community where we were hearing folks asking, you know, yes, we understand it's important to remember those who have died, but we also have trans folks in our community who are alive and may be struggling to stay alive or, you know, struggling with transphobia in their daily lives. So how do we support those people? And our answer is Temper Days, which has many events focusing on everything from hearing a panel of trans folks in the workplace who talk about their work experiences, hearing a presentation by someone from the Student Legal Services Center talking about how to go through the name change process, and lots of different events. Also culminating with the Trans Day of Remembrance event.
Okay. And listeners, there are a lot of details that we're not going to be able to share with you this evening. So I wanted to be sure we direct people to the website, because I know you guys have a really great list of things that are going on. And Melanie, what's the website where folks can find all those details?
The website is www.pdx.edu/queer. And our front page has a link directly to the full schedule for Temper Days.
Okay, that's great. And so you've got a big event coming up tomorrow, correct?
Correct. We have two big events this week. Tomorrow is the Trans Injustice Panel, and we have some really amazing folks coming to talk on a panel about how trans women, and especially trans women of color, are incarcerated at just astounding rates. And many of those trans women are sentenced to men's prisons. So we have Cece McDonald, who has an upcoming documentary by Laverne Cox about her own life. Miss Major, who is the executive director at TGI Justice, an organization helping trans folks who are or have been incarcerated. Janetta Johnson is also coming from TGI Justice, and Peter Moloff, who is a trans justice organizer here in Portland at Basic Rights Oregon.
Okay. And so that that panel that's happening tomorrow night, is that free?
It is free, and it is open to the community.
Okay. And it's at the Student Union on the Portland State University campus, correct?
Correct. It's in the Smith Memorial Student Union at the PSU campus, and it's in the ballroom, which is on the third floor.
Okay. And now if anybody is listening while you're driving, please don't take your hands off the wheel. But as a reminder, all these details are on the website. And again, Melanie, that was, just correct me if I'm wrong, but it was pdx.edu/queer, correct?
Correct. And the event tomorrow is from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
We're going to let folks in at 6:30.
Okay, perfect. And I know you have some other things going on for the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And so what, is there something happening on campus?
There is. We are holding space on Thursday evening from 5:30 to 6:30 at the Viking Welcome Center, which is in our campus recreation building on campus. And that will be a space where we will have a PA system. We will remember those who have been killed in the last year, and then we're going to open it up for folks to talk about people that they may have known, to remember folks in that way, and we'll also have some people there for emotional support if folks want to talk one-on-one.
Okay. And I just wanted to acknowledge that the students at the Queer Resource Center have organized. I just loved the diverse mix of things that you guys had planned during the month of October. And again, listeners, all these details are on the website. But I just wanted to let folks know, like, you've also had the trans-affirming fitness group.
Yeah, that is not just for the Temper Days, which is the month of November, actually. But all year long, we have a trans-affirming fitness hour twice a week.
Okay. And for folks that might not understand why that's important, can you just please let us know why is that important to hold that space?
Definitely. I think many queer people who have been to a gym might feel similarly, and also understand why places like locker rooms and workout rooms are often not safe for trans folks. So we wanted to proactively hold space for trans people and their friends to work out in a separate room. We also have gender-neutral facilities in our gym.
Mm-hmm.
That event has been really powerful for folks who do want to go to the gym but may not feel comfortable changing in locker rooms with cisgender folks.
Right. And are those, and again, listeners, the details are available on their website, but are those trans-affirming fitness groups available to community members, or is that just for students at Portland State University?
I believe the rec center is open to community members. So anyone who is a member at the Portland State Campus Rec Center can come. And I believe day passes are available for community members if they don't want to commit.
Okay, that sounds great. So I know that the Queer Resource Center is open, you know, year-round, and that you've got stuff going on all the time. And so tonight we've been talking about, you know, events specifically around the transgender community. But I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of let our listeners know you guys host movie nights, all sorts of other things that are happening. And so anything that's on the calendar, you know, later in the year or maybe early next year that you'd like to make sure listeners know about?
Well, Temper Days is our big event for fall term. So one other very exciting thing that we do in the spring, in April, will be the Queer Students of Color Conference. And that is a very unique event that I believe doesn't happen anywhere else on this side of the country. And that is a chance for students of color who are queer and or trans to come together. There's a lot of amazing art workshops that go on. Just get together to talk about organizing, talk about how to sort of convene our communities, talk about self-care. And we are always looking for volunteers and community partners for those events.
Wonderful. And can folks, if there's anyone in the community who wants to help organize or maybe a business that wants to support, they can contact you guys through the website?
Correct. And the direct email for the Queer Students of Color Conference organizer is qsoc@pdx.edu.
Okay, that's great. So I wanted to be sure we had time, if there was anything else that you wanted to be sure our listeners knew about, either about the Queer Resource Center or anything else going on campus. Is there anything else you'd like to share this evening?
I think particularly about Trans Day of Remembrance, in that it's definitely a somber experience, but it's also a very real reminder that gay marriage didn't solve all of our queer problems, and
yes,
we still have work to do.
There's a lot of work to do, so I'm agreeing with you, and I do want to take a moment and say thank you to everybody who's been working on the gay marriage and marriage equality. You know that those are some important rights for people, but what's going on with... Yeah, and but also what's going on with, you know, transgender individuals and their safety and their health and their mental health, and just how welcome are they in different circles in our communities. I really appreciate all the work that you and your team have been doing. And I just want to remind listeners, if anybody's joined us recently in our conversation, you're listening to Out Loud, the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and we've been speaking with Melanie, who's a student at Portland State University, and Melanie has been very involved with the Queer Resource Center. And you can find more information about the Queer Resource Center, including all the details on the different events that we've been discussing, on their website. You can go to psu.edu. pdx.edu/queer. And we will have links to that website on the Out Loud page here on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. So Melanie, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening, and give a big thanks to everyone who's been involved with the Queer Resource Center, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And hopefully we'll hear more next spring when it's time for the Queer Students of Color Conference. We're looking forward to that.
Great.
Right on. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be back in a few moments to talk to an organizer from Basic Rights Oregon about the transgender justice work that they're doing at Basic Rights Oregon. For now, we're going to take a short musical break and hear a song from Toshi Regan titled Building Blues. Thank you. Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO Portland. My name is Carla, and the song that we were just listening to was from Toshi Regan, titled Building Blues. And next, I'd like to welcome to the studio David from Basic Rights Oregon. Welcome, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us. So you are working with the transgender justice work within Basic Rights Oregon, and tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as folks know, as many folks will know, Basic Rights has been around since the 90s. Folks who've been in Oregon for a long time will remember the slew of anti-LGBT ballot measures that the Oregon Citizens Alliance put forth in that period. And Oregon has actually had more anti-LGBT ballot measures than any other state in the country. So Basic Rights Oregon grew out of those fights and has since stuck around to fight a lot of other battles for our community. And the Transgender Justice Program at BRO has been around for about 5 years and has had a primary focus in working to win health care for better access to health care for trans people in Oregon. And I've been in that work for a little under 3 years, and I, you know, come to this work as somebody who, you know, cut my teeth in some of the grassroots organizing that happened after Prop 8 in California and, you know, was really excited about the intersectional work that BRO was doing, especially as a trans person, to see a statewide organization with a trans-specific program is really, really rare. So, you know, I was really moved by that work and really excited to come here. But I think, you know, the kind of bigger reason for doing that work for me is that I'm, you know, one of very few trans people I know that is able to survive and that is not just scraping by. And so I have a lot of privilege in being able to do this work and feel really compelled to make sure that I'm able to get more people at the table and empower more people to be able to have leading roles in this work.
Well, thank you. It is so important. And thank you to your team back at the office, because I know Basic Rights Oregon has a lot of different people, but also hundreds and hundreds of volunteers.
Yeah, we have amazing volunteers.
Yeah, so a big shout out to everyone who's gotten involved with Basic Rights Oregon and doing the work that needs to happen. And so today, or tonight on the show, we've been focusing a lot on the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is on November 20th. And so I noticed on Basic Rights' website, just so folks know, it's
basicrights.org. Okay. And we have on the front page right now, there's a list of all of the Transgender Day of Remembrance events that we know of statewide. There's some in Eugene. I think there's a few in Corvallis. I may be wrong, but there are several in Portland and elsewhere across the state as well. So definitely basicrights.org on the front page. Click on Trans Day of Remembrance and you can get more information, as well as just some you know, commentary and context from us on why Trans Day of Remembrance is important, and especially why it's really important to act in solidarity with the folks who are most targeted by anti-trans violence.
Right, right. And a big shout out to all the straight allies that have gotten involved with the different gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender political things that have been going on, but also just in our neighborhoods. Like a big shout out to all the straight allies who are supporting the rainbow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to work in coalition, you know, and I think actually, you know, speaking of Leslie Feinberg, you know, one of the things that Leslie Feinberg was so great at was working in coalition and making sure that we, you know, didn't lead single issue movements, and that we brought folks into our issues who may not have shared them personally, but that we also showed up for issues that didn't impact us personally. So, yeah, I think that's really important.
And let me just take a moment. I mean, it's, and I appreciate that Leslie had spoken openly about their illness. And mm-hmm. So knowing that their time was short, they'd been sick for a while. Yeah. But now that Leslie has passed on, I've been asking my friends, and sorry to surprise, I did not ask David this question ahead of time, but what did Leslie Feinberg mean in your world?
Ooh, Leslie Feinberg meant a lot to me. You know, I think, And it's funny seeing on Facebook and elsewhere just a lot of folks having the same response that, you know, Leslie Feinberg was really the first reference point that I ever had. And I think by the time that I read Stonebridge Blues, I think I was 15 or 16, you know, I'd already, I was definitely a gender nonconforming child and young adult and teenager, and had encountered a lot of violence that I didn't know how to put a name to and didn't have words for. And so for the first time in my life, reading that book felt like I had a history and a context and words to talk about what was happening to me and what I was feeling. And that was truly life-saving. And, you know, Leslie, I think, was that for a lot of people. And I think, you know, Leslie also knew that Z had a lot of privilege as a white person and made sure that kind of as Z climbed, Z was carrying these bigger intersectional messages into her work. And that also, I think, was really, you know, as a white person in this movement, as somebody who identifies as male and masculine, I think also really shaped my politics and shaped the way that I show up to this work. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
If again, if any listeners not already familiar with Leslie Feinberg's work, I encourage you to use your favorite search engine and do a little reading. And yeah, I read Stonebridge Blues as a teenager, and it rocked my world, and yeah, helped me understand a lot of stuff. And so
yeah,
there have been a lot of other writings, and again, I just want to acknowledge the pronouns. And when we shared, you know, my colleague Daniel shared, you know, just a small part of Leslie's obituary at the beginning of the show. There were some people questioning around pronouns, but in the obituary, and that the she and her pronouns were used in the obituary. But just to acknowledge, it was Leslie Feinberg's spouse that wrote the obituary, and so we were honoring those words the way they were written. So just to
And I think it also includes in the obituary that Leslie also used Z in here.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
But just for any listeners that were, you know, noticing our words changing, and so
yeah, absolutely,
again,
absolutely.
Just to encourage people to go do a little research yourself, and you know, there's a lot of writing about Leslie Feinberg and by Leslie Feinberg that will probably have an influence on you as well. So, yeah. All right, let's get back to Basic Rights Oregon. So we were talking about the website, and that there's you know, some more calendar stuff on for Transgender Day of Remembrance coming up. But David, I also wanted to give you a chance to kind of let our listeners know more of, you know, that more than just this week, you know, that we're focusing on Transgender Day of Remembrance is on November 20th, but the trans justice work that is going on is much more than just the month of November. So,
yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, the trans justice work at Basic Rights has largely focused on increasing access to healthcare. And you know, when the program formed, in I think around 2010, we did a series of community listening sessions to actually, you know, I think like many statewide LGBT organizations had a real deficit of engagement with trans communities and few trans staff and few relationships in the community. So, you know, began that work with listening sessions to actually hear from the community what priorities were coming up for people. And the three that really rose to the top were, you know, healthcare, jails and prisons, and non-discrimination and employment and accommodations. You know, so we have pursued increasing access to healthcare through, you know, both private and public insurance. We've had two big wins on that front. So it's now, you know, illegal for private insurers in Oregon to have specific exclusions targeting trans people in health plans, which for folks who don't know, it's been really commonplace since the 70s for most health plans to actually have access to healthcare denied to trans people written specifically into health plans. And we also, yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to, for folks that, and what you're saying makes sense to me, but I just wanted to like give an example. So let me say, and correct me with this example, but a body who was assigned female,
right?
A female body, you know, the medical community says that's a female bodied person, goes to their medical provider and wants to have surgery on what we call top surgery, and it's medically it's called a double mastectomy. so that their body matches what they identify as, but the insurance company would say no because it was not considered medically necessary.
Right, yeah. Chest reconstruction is one example, but I think those exclusions in health plans have actually been written so broad most of the time,
right,
that they have really big ramifications. So an example of that language, in the past that's looked like an insurance plan actually saying, you know, we will not cover any treatment related to you know, gender transition, or it's usually much more problematic language than that.
Right.
Providers and interpreters and even people who work for that healthcare company and process those claims can really interpret that in a variety of ways. For instance, I, you know, ended up in the ER a few years ago for a completely unrelated issue, had absolutely nothing to do with transition. And, you know, my claim came back denied because my doctor, I had mentioned to my doctor that I was taking testosterone, and that code showed up in my paperwork. And so, you know, I had to, you know, pay for a very expensive ER visit out of pocket that I wouldn't have had to if I wasn't trans. So it, you know, has even bigger ramifications for people beyond just trying to access medically necessary transition-related care. So we've been working really hard to get rid of those exclusions. And, you know, we had a big policy win. The insurance commissioner issued a bulletin that said private insurers can no longer do that. About one or two years ago, I've lost track of time a little bit, but, you know, and we still have a lot of work, but people are still being denied. And so we still have a lot of work to do to make sure that that law is actually working for people, and that insurers are doing the right thing. So that's definitely something that, we're still continuing to pursue. And then the other, big win we've had in healthcare has been, very recently with the Oregon Health Plan. So just a couple months ago, after kind of years of education and lobbying with the Oregon Health Plan, we were able to move them to have an inclusive Oregon Health Plan that will cover treatment for gender dysphoria. And that includes, you know, a big range of health care, but also ensures that trans people can't be blanketly excluded from accessing that. And, you know, because trans people face really rampant discrimination in employment, it's much more likely that we're likely to be on Oregon Health Plan rather than to have private insurance. So OHP is going to begin covering transition-related care starting in January of 2015, and we're going to be you know, watching that really closely to make sure that there's a, you know, it's a win on paper, but there's a lot of work to do to make sure that it actually is a living victory and that it's working for people. So you know, if you're on OHP and trying to access healthcare in January, please be in touch with us. You can email resources@basicrights.org if you run into any problems. We definitely want to help folks be able to advocate for themselves and help folks know what the law is, because in this case, the law is actually on our side. So again, that's resources@basicrights.org, and definitely be in touch with us.
And could that also, could that email also be used for an individual who's being denied coverage through private insurance?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, if you have questions about anything like that, definitely feel free to get in touch with us. You know, we can't always answer those questions. We don't always have answers, but we do try to answer them to the best of our ability and refer people to legal counsel or direct services for other issues.
Okay. Again, the email is resources@basicrights.org. And if you're just joining the conversation, you're listening to Out Loud. This is the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and we have David with us here in the studios. And David works with the Transgender Justice Project at Basic Rights Oregon. And the website is basicrights.org. And folks can find you there if they want to connect, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you had also mentioned one of the other projects that Basic Rights was working on was around prison and incarceration. And can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, I think we as a policy and advocacy organization have tried to figure out how we can best ensure the safety of trans people in Oregon prisons and jails. We know that, you know, obviously, you know, prison is a violent place for everyone, and incarceration is violence. But trans people in particular, and especially trans women and trans women of color, face a particular kind of violence in prisons and jails. So we've done, you know, some advocacy and training with the Department of Corrections, and have kind of been in ongoing conversation with them to ensure that they're moving towards policy that is going to allow people who are experiencing incarceration to at least experience the maximum amount of safety possible in that situation. And, you know, I think it's an issue that, you know, really, really deeply impacts the most marginalized people in trans communities. And again, we know that, especially with Trans Day of Remembrance coming up, we know that the vast majority of people on the list of names that's read every year are trans women of color. And I think, again, the vast majority of trans people who are incarcerated are trans people of color. I'm really excited about the panel that's coming up at PSU because I think there's going to be a really great Peter, my colleague, is on that panel. But I think it's also a really great opportunity to hear from trans women of color who have experienced incarceration, who have survived it, to talk about you know, solutions and to talk about what's possible beyond the solutions we have now to deal with harm and violence in our communities. So I'm really excited about that.
Right on. Yeah. Okay. We only have about five more minutes, but I want to be sure we talk about the third priority, you know, the work that's going on with Basic Rights Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. So beyond the Trans Justice Program. Yeah. Right. So for 2015, I think Basic Rights Oregon is currently wrapping up our strategic planning process. So every 5 years, we get feedback from the community to determine what the priorities are going to be for the next 5 years. So we're currently in the process of kind of looking through all of that feedback. We've had hundreds of online surveys responded to. And if you want to respond to that survey, we would love your feedback. You can go to basicrights.org. It should be there on the front page. You can also check out our Facebook page and tell us what you think we should be working on for the next 5 years. And, you know, we're going to be continuing the trans justice work. We also have racial justice work throughout the organization that partners with organizations for racial justice in the state. And so we will be continuing that work and be guided by the feedback that we get from that process. And I think we're also, you know, my hope always for the work is that we're increasing engagement of people at the margins and, you know, deepening the leadership in trans communities in particular. So, you know, I think for folks who want to be leaders in the movement, who want to access leadership development and other opportunities, definitely please reach out to us. And, you know, we really want to help lift people up. So, yeah.
That's exciting. And so, again, the website for Basic Rights Oregon is basicrights.org. A special shout out to all the volunteers with Basic Rights Oregon who are working to make a difference in their communities outside of the Portland metropolitan area. Basic Rights Oregon is a statewide organization, and there have been many, many individuals in many, many, you know, countless communities across the state, you know, working in their hometown.
Yeah, and we have, you know, we definitely have a lot more work to do as an organization to make sure that we're really serving the whole state. And I think there's a lot of trans people in particular who are in rural areas of the state, who are in areas far outside the metro area. You know, I think about, for instance, the Chrysalis Group in Ashland, who are, you know, advocating and supporting each other in places where it's more difficult to do that in Portland. And I think, you know, there's a lot of really amazing work happening across the state.
It is. And so, again, listeners, if you're inspired to get involved, you can find David and all the other staff at the Basic Rights website, basicrights.org. Now, before we say our goodbyes, David, I just want to be sure that we've covered everything that you wanted to share. There's so much more to the conversation, but any closing thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple quick things that are coming up for BRO, and then there's also a resource that I wanted to share with folks. So we, you know, folks who have been following the work of the Trans Justice Program know that we had a trans healthcare forum on October 9th. And with the changes that are coming in at OHP, we're going to look towards doing another forum specifically about OHP in the new year. So keep an eye out for that. It's not scheduled yet, but it will be happening. Because these changes are happening and we want to really make sure folks are trained to advocate. And we're also, you know, we're so lucky to have forums like KBOO to speak, but we also know that we need folks beyond just staff to be able to speak and tell their stories. And so we are also going to be doing a couple of, how to share your story trainings and media trainings in the new year, and likely in December as well. We'll be announcing those on the website once they get scheduled. So keep an eye out. And the last thing I wanted to share, before I headed over here, I saw this piece online. It was a piece on autostraddle.com, which is a website for queer women. And there's a piece there by Morgan Collado that's called Remembering Us When We're Gone, Ignoring Us While We're Here, Trans Women Deserve More, that really talks a lot about the ways that trans women are targeted for violence, especially trans women of color, and also the way that trans women are routinely pushed out of LGBT movements and spaces. So, especially I want to encourage folks who identify as trans men, folks who identify as white, to head over to autostraddle.com, read that piece, and think about that context and the bigger social context in this work.
Right on. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I want to rub my heart and say Leslie would be proud that you said that. Okay. That again, we're mentioning Leslie Feinberg, and I'm rubbing my heart because she passed on this week. But one thing that I really loved about Leslie Feinberg was around, we're all in this together. At least that's my interpretation, and, working with each other towards the common good of us all. So, yeah. So thank you so much, David, for joining us in studio this evening, and a big thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And a big thank you to everybody who's involved with Basic Rights Oregon. We really need your work, and hopefully we'll continue to see some changes in our community. So awesome. Thank you for joining
thank
us.
You.
Yes. And listeners, we're going to go out with a musical song. I just want to let our listeners know next week, Alan will be back in studio with us, and Alan will be hosting the show next week. If you're interested in volunteering with Out Loud, this is a volunteer creation, and everyone is welcome. You do not need to have previous radio experience to volunteer with us. You can go to the KBOO website at kboo.fm/volunteer to find out how to get involved. You can also send us an email at outloudradio@gmail.com. So thank you so much for listening. We're going to go out with a song from Goddess and She, and the song is titled Love Machine, and it's a little bit of a positive message to leave the show on this evening. And I'm getting some feedback from my engineer. Perhaps the song is not ready. The joy of community radio. Thank you to Sequoia for engineering, and thank you to Boston, who was engineering our show earlier this evening. Sequoia, do we have the song? Sorry, listeners. All right. The song is titled Love Machine, and I just wanted to end the show on a positive note and sharing the love for the community. Again, we have been talking about the Transgender Day of Awareness or of Remembrance, and it is a heavy subject to think about the transgender people who have been killed this year, but to acknowledge we're all in this together, and Goddess and She talking about the love machine. Thank you for listening.
I'm captivated, mesmerized by your eyes. And kind of look shy. I think you're sexy and you got a nice swagger. We should compliment each other for making after. We kiss cause I like love being adventurous. I'll place my two fingers across your sexy lips. Shh, don't speak, let's exchange vibes. We don't need to talk, we could talk with our eyes. Yeah, I know, that's what your eyes said. You like to come over and see my big bed.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard around the world at www.kboo.fm. The time is 6:59. Stay tuned for a special panel discussion going live around the struggle to start housing, featuring Sandy Polishek, coming up next.
Oh, pirate, yes, to my mind.
Hear poetry from the prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
Hood anthems become multi-million-dollar commercial jingles. But the question is, who's getting paid and who's really getting played? Such a volatile minefield.
In this world of cold concrete and lifeless steel, there is no warmth here, no affection, no touch.
But more than the cacophonous conversation, I crave the pleasure of feeling myself. I need you to keep me sensitive.
Hear the Uhuru Sasa Poetry Share on Prison Pipeline, November 24th at 6:30 p.m.
Triumphantly, won't you help me sing this song of freedom?
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
And again, you're listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight, Hard Knock Radio will be preempted with a live panel discussion featuring Sandy Polishek. And the discussion will be around starting up new housing in the Portland general area. So we're going to go live here and right now.